biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Well, thank you again for joining us today on Transforming Conversations. This is Greg Hughes along with Pastor Rock, and I am so privileged to be sitting throwing topics like this, because there's one that is kind of personal to our family. And I just, Pastor Rock, as we start out, I want to frame this and then give you the scripture, if that's all right. We've been dealing in our family with a personal family issue for quite a while. And without getting into specifics, my wife and I have taken this issue to prayer. And we have a common heart, a common mind on the situation and what, how to handle it, things to do. And it gets frustrating when you pray for so long and it seems like you don't see anything happening. Like there's nothing, no changes, nothing's getting better. Nothing's moving. Then I read this scripture out of James chapter 1. Verses 6 through 8, it says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." Now, I don't know about other folks, but when I don't see something happening in a couple months, let alone 3 years, that doubt really comes in and it takes over. And it seems like after I'm done praying, I don't believe anything I just said. I doubt anything's going to happen, you know, because you don't see anything. You don't hear any changes. In fact, it feels like at times it gets worse. You know, then just reading this as I understand it, well, Greg, you must be a double-minded guy. You're not a real stable Christian. You're not a real stable individual. That's why maybe things aren't working and why God's not answering. So,
all right.
I'm lost.
I think I see the inquiry. Well, let me begin by saying when you're reading God's word, context is everything. An old preacher once said, if you take a verse out of context, it will quickly become a pretext. It will become the foundation for false thinking, for unsound thinking, for thinking that is not in harmony with the Word of God. In this case, context is vitally important. I want to back up just a little bit from the portion you began reading, because you began with ask in faith with no doubt, because if you doubt, you're like a wind of the sea.
Right.
Okay? But prior to that, that's verse 6. Prior to that, in verse 5, James is addressing the topic of wisdom. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, wisdom is the knowledge of things as they truly are. It is an accurate perception of God, of yourself, of the world. Wisdom. And it's the ability to apply knowledge in an appropriate fashion. Most people have heard the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is the awareness of facts and realities. Wisdom is the ability to employ those facts and those realities in a positive fashion. Because there are lots of people who have knowledge of facts, but they're foolish. They're not wise people.
Right.
A wise person has an awareness of facts, but he also knows how to apply them. All right? Now, James said, if any of you lacks wisdom, the topic in this paragraph is wisdom. It's not family problems. It's right. not personal health issues. It's not challenges before the church. It's wisdom. And he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, meaning he's not been out of shape. He's not got to scold you for asking. And it will be given him. But, so we're continuing along this theme of asking God for wisdom, not asking God for anything.
Mm.
But wow. let him ask in faith for what? For wisdom, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So what James is addressing is the request for God to grant us wisdom, recognition of reality, and the ability to respond to reality in a positive, God-honoring fashion.
Right.
Wisdom. Again, it's not healing. It's not financial provision. It's not a job. It's not a child getting their life aligned with God. It's not the restoration of a marriage. It's not the financial needs of the local congregation. The topic is wisdom. The ability to act appropriately in all situations. If you lack wisdom, you can ask God. He's glad to have you ask, and he'll give it to you. But as you're asking, you have to be convinced that it is God who is truly the source of that wisdom you're seeking.
That's right. That's right.
Because if you aren't convinced of that, if you're feeling like, well, God can give me the wisdom I need in some areas, but there are other areas where I'm going to look to science, or I'm going to look to human philosophers, or I'm going to look to human educators, or I'm going to look to human history. So I'm asking God for wisdom, but I think I can acquire wisdom in other places. I'm not even certain God's the foremost place to acquire wisdom.
Right.
All right. Now your doubting has to do with God himself, and is he sufficient to give you the wisdom you seek? Well, if you're asking God for wisdom, but you aren't even convinced in your own heart that God is the source of all wisdom.
Yeah, you're asking him
the same moment you're asking God for wisdom, you're probably looking for it in other places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, as you look for it in other places, you encounter thinking that is contrary
right.
to the Word of God.
Right.
So now you're hearing one opinion over here and you're hearing another over here. Hence the phrase tossed by the wind.
Mm.
Doubting. Well, which one is true?
That's right.
Like a wave of the sea churning, churning, churning.
And we've been through that.
Now.
Yeah.
That person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. But But again, what's the context? He's asking God for wisdom.
Right.
But he's not convinced that God is the ultimate absolute source of wisdom. He's also looking for it elsewhere. Hence, he is double-minded. He's trying to look in two different directions.
Mm.
That creates instability.
Right.
Because he hears God saying one thing, he hears the world saying something else, and he's sort of giving them both equal time.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So, how can God give him wisdom when the fear, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom?
Mm. Right.
And he's not asking with the fear and the reverence of the Lord. James was saying to ask God for wisdom when you aren't even certain he can deliver it is got to position you where even if he shares the answers with you, you're maybe not going to buy into them because you're listening to other voices, mm-hmm. dissenting voices, yeah. differing voices. You haven't laid the groundwork of a reverence for God and a recognition of who he is that is the beginning of wisdom. So how can you ask God to give you wisdom when you haven't laid the groundwork for that? It's like asking your contractor to build a house when there's no foundation.
You have no land.
So, yeah. So the issue here is not praying for a family member in need and things appear to be getting worse rather than better, and then beating yourself up that, well, maybe they'd be getting better if I didn't entertain any doubts when I prayed. That's not what this is talking about. Mm. You know, it's interesting. James, his writing style is like a 2x4 to the side of the head. I mean, James is not philosophical like John. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos.
Yeah.
James isn't like Luke, a detailed physician. James is like a 2x4 to the side of the head. I mean, he just, this isn't right, and this is, and if you do this, you got to be messed up. And James is blunt.
Yeah.
Okay. And because of that, people have a habit when they read James of feeling accused. I find that all the time. Mm. People are constantly saying, you know, something about James, and they'll quote me a verse, and almost inevitably on the other side of quoting that verse, they feel condemned and they feel accused. They feel like they're really messing up.
Sure.
And a lot of it has to do with James' blunt style. Let me put it this way. James is a very black-white kind of a person.
Yeah.
You've maybe met people like that.
Absolutely.
And God bless them. Those people have a role to play, but there's a lot of life in the gray.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I don't mean contrary to God's word or doubting God's word. I mean, a lot of things just aren't simple. We can't reduce them to a simple A, B formula.
Right.
James doesn't get into grays very much. Again, he's a blunt tool. A or B, pick, kind of a thing. And so, again, people commonly read these rather blunt statements from James. Then they try to apply them in some of the vagaries and challenges of life and feel like they're a hot mess, and that's why they mm-hmm. have problems. So I think this is an example. The context is asking for wisdom. You ask God, but if you're asking God for wisdom and you're not even convinced he is the ultimate source of wisdom, well, then You see why that's an impossibility?
Absolutely. And like I said, we've experienced that. When it would come up.
Yeah. But again, his focus here is not having doubts and uncertainty when you're praying for a family member.
Right. It's for wisdom.
It's praying for wisdom.
Yeah.
And when you remember that, then you can understand why doubting and so on would get in the way of that.
Sure.
Well, how can God give me his wisdom when I'm doubting he's the source of all wisdom, when I'm not even convinced of that?
Right.
Okay. That's different from how can God help my child when I have doubts it's got to happen. That's a different matter.
Yeah.
You see, if your ask is wisdom and you're doubting if God's the source of wisdom, oh yeah, you can see why that doesn't work. But if you're asking God help my child to see the light and break free from this bad behavior, well, doubting that it's got to happen, while that's never a good thing, but you see, doubting there doesn't stop God working in the life of your child.
Yeah.
I can be praying for somebody with doubt, but that doesn't tie God's hands working with that person.
Right.
If I'm asking God for wisdom and doubting he can give it, well, that, in a sense, does tie his hands from honoring my request.
Sure.
But not praying for something else. The reality is, we all entertain doubts when we're praying.
Right.
We pray for healing. And in the back of our mind, there's that thought. Well, God may not heal. Christians aren't always healed. Christians die.
Mm-hmm.
Christians die of cancer. Christians have heart attacks. Christians fall and die. I mean, so anytime we're praying for healing, back there's always a little bit of doubt. When we're praying for God to restore a marriage, there's usually got to be some doubts back there in the corners, because we know not all marriages get restored.
Right.
Christians get divorces.
That's right.
When we're praying for a prodigal child to come to faith, there's always that awareness that not all prodigals come home.
That's right.
God doesn't have any grandchildren. Now, I don't believe those doubts bind the hand of God from working on our behalf. Doubt is something believers experience. It's different than unbelief.
Hmm.
See, unbelief is you're not persuaded that God is God. You're not persuaded of the things of God. That's unbelief. You're rejecting them.
Right.
Belief is you accept them fully. You're investing your life in them.
Right.
But you struggle with how they're going to work out. And those struggles about how they're going to work out constitute doubt.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So doubt accompanies belief. I believe in God. I've committed my life to God. I believe God's got to do what he has said. I believe God's got to keep his promises. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus as my Savior. My hope is built on nothing less. But I'm struggling to understand how this will work out. I struggle sometimes to believe this thing will work out. Temporal things.
Sure.
Believers doubt. Unbelievers, they don't struggle with doubt because they don't buy any of it.
Right. Right.
So an unbeliever, says that Jewish stuff is a lot of crap.
Right.
And he doesn't concern himself with, am I trusting him fully? It's believers who have put their life in God's hand who struggle with doubts. Am I trusting him fully? Mm-hmm. Am I praying as I ought to? See, those are the questions of belief, right, not unbelief. So doubt, in a sense, accompanies belief, and it's very different than unbelief. So Christians are always going to have to deal with doubt when they pray. But God's hands aren't tied by doubt.
Thank God.
See?
Amen.
But here, it's lacking wisdom. And James is making it clear, if you have doubts about God being able to give you that wisdom, which really is doubt about, is he God?
Right.
Hmm. And as a result, you're looking elsewhere at the same time. So it's like you're covering all the bases.
Right, right.
Yeah, you go put $5 down on God and $5 over here and $5 over here. It's like betting on all three horses in the race, kind of a thing.
Right.
Well, you haven't positioned yourself to receive wisdom because reverence for God is the beginning of wisdom. So that's why I say context.
Yeah.
The context here is not, if you're praying for a family member and you have doubts, you're not going to get anything.
Hmm.
No, it's if you're lacking wisdom and asking God for wisdom, but you have doubts that God is the source of wisdom, then you're not going to get anything.
Well, that's good news because obviously
it should be, because again, I remind people the answers to prayer that we seek aren't based primarily in the amount of faith we generate. They're based in the one in whom we put our faith.
Right.
Our faith is not in faith. Our faith is in God.
Amen.
And you can be exercising a little doubting faith in a great God and get results.
Hmm.
That's different than putting a lot of faith in the size of your faith.
Right.
However you measure that.
Right.
And expecting that guarantees results. So it's not faith in faith. It's faith in God. And again, even small faith in a great God will see results, whereas great faith in the power of faith itself, that's not going to see results.
Right.
Every Christian who prays will struggle with some, but what if not?
So I'm normal.
Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our God is able to deliver from this furnace.
Right.
But if not, he does not, see, we'll still praise him.
Right.
We'll praise him in our death. Okay. So did they have great faith? Yeah. But more importantly, they put their faith in a great God. They still had their but if not moment.
That's powerful.
And right. God didn't say, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you guys are doing so well till you said that, but if not, now I can't do anything for you. No, we know how that ended.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's natural. And I think one of the reasons why doubt is natural when we're praying for God's work in another person is because we have wisdom. Let me spin that for you.
Please.
God has given us the wisdom to know that he does not force himself and his agenda upon anybody and will not do so just because we pray.
Right.
God appeals, God convicts, God invites, God pleads, God pursues, but God does not force obedience, force love, and force his will upon the human heart. He doesn't say, my SWAT team and I are coming in. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Mm. We know that when we pray for somebody's salvation, it doesn't mean God's got to bypass their will and force them to be a believer.
That's right.
That's wisdom.
Yeah. Hmm.
So even our doubts, I'm praying for my child's salvation, but I'm aware they may not come because God doesn't force himself upon people.
That's right.
See, we doubt a little bit because we have some wisdom.
Mm.
God has shown us how he works in the world.
Right.
And the recognition of how God works doesn't remove all doubts. I'd like to suggest sometimes it births some doubts.
Right.
We know he won't force our child to follow him. So, of course, we're going to have some doubts. Will they or won't they?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have those doubts? Because God's given us the wisdom as how he works.
That's right. Hmm. That's right. And it's also the fuel to keep praying, to keep believing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, again, God has no grandchildren.
Right.
If every time a parent prayed their child to follow Jesus, there would be no believers with unbelieving children.
Right.
And once God stepped into a family line, everybody thereafter would be a believer.
That's right.
But that's not
the case.
The case.
Yeah, my prayer then, just in light of your wisdom, is I need to ask God for wisdom in this situation.
Well, you keep asking God, in this case, that your family member will come to the recognition of those things that will help him turn his life around,
mm-hmm.
or help him seek God to turn his life around. But you pray that knowing that God isn't the heavenly Gestapo. He's not going to force that family member.
That's right.
But as you keep praying, God will keep pursuing.
Amen.
But just as you had to decide for Jesus, your mom and dad could not decide for you.
That's right.
He has to do the same.
That's right. And that's my prayer.
Yeah. So you keep praying, but you pray with the recognition that God won't alter the laws of the universe and start forcing people to be saved.
Yeah, amen.
He calls.
Well, I hope I'm not the only one that is.
Oh, no, you're not. lots of people, oh, if I believed more.
Right.
Well, again, it's not how much you believe. It's the one you're believing in.
Amen. Good word. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.